listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and online at stgabrielradio.com. I'm Mary Ann Jepson. As a Catholic therapist, I have the holy privilege of walking along individuals and families through many of the tragedies and triumphs of their lives. And as someone who works with the Marriage and Family Life Office to prepare young and sometimes maybe not so young couples for the sacrament of marriage, I see the great joy of hope and expectation on their faces as they look into the eyes of their beloved. It's really a beautiful thing to behold, and often I find myself praying for them so that they never lose that hope or deep sense of joy, but that it'll only blossom into a fuller and deeper love and respect for each other as the challenges of life come upon them, as most of us know they surely will. No couple is given a roadmap or owner's manual even to know how to deal with the challenges that will be distinctly theirs as husband and wife or mother and father. It's pretty much, I guess it's a on-the-job training, as you might call it, and you just have to have God in your life. To be your guide when the rough waters come. This is nothing that any of us can ever deal with on our own. We may think we can, but we can't. I've come to learn that it's really absolutely senseless to even try and deal with many of the challenges of life and think that we can do it on our own. One of the greatest challenges I know that any young couple will face is first hearing the news that their unborn child has a genetic disorder, and then facing the joys and the sorrows that each day will bring from that point forward. I have a special guest today. I know he's special. He's a friend of mine, Kevin Lowry, and he's someone with real life experience in the area of parenting a child with special needs. And he's even written a chapter in a new book about it, edited by his friend Randy Hain. The name of that book, the title is Blessed Children, Special Fathers, a book of encouragement for fathers of children with special needs. Kevin is also an author of other books as well. And I'm going to have him talk about, I guess you can just talk about all of them a little bit, but one of the ones he just brought in to me today is also The Joys and Challenges of Family Life, Catholic Husbands and Fathers Speak Out. This is by Brandon McGinley. He's the editor, and I believe, once again, Kevin has a chapter in this book. So tell us about your books, Kevin. Welcome. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you.
Just hit us off a little bit here with the books that you've written, and then we'll get into the topic of fathering children with special needs.
Sure. Well, I guess I got into this by writing a number of magazine articles and things like that, and then that evolved into contributing chapters to a few books. The first one was my conversion story in Patrick Madrid's Surprised by Truth 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which was just a terrific book. I mean, I still go back and reread it every now and again because I just think that all those stories are inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
My first book that I wrote on my own was called Faith at Work, Finding
Right.
Purpose Beyond the Paycheck. And that's all about integrating our faith into our work and really trying to become better workers and better Catholics simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So that was just a great joy to write. And something that was kind of a labor of love for quite some time. And then since then, I've contributed a couple more chapters to this one by Randy Hain. Randy's a great friend of mine and just a super good guy, and really thought that he came across so many men mm-hmm. in his travels with special needs sons. Randy has a son who's on the autism spectrum. And the statistics associated with Catholic fatherhood and fatherhood in general when couples have special needs kids are just staggering. I mean, they're devastating. And he talks about that a little bit in this
book. A lot of challenges.
Yeah. And there's really a high exit rate from marriages.
Yeah. Right.
So he wanted to put this book together as a source of encouragement to men who do confront this in one way or another. And of course, you don't have to have a special needs child to have some challenges with kids anyway, right?
Exactly, so, right. We know that.
Right. So this I think, is encouragement not only to people with, you know, special needs kids of various sorts, but also just, you know, it's a good encouragement for Catholic fathers in general.
Yeah, I'm happy that it's focused on fathers, too, because a lot of times I think women read the books and, you know, the self-help kinds of things and whatever, and a lot of things are written from their perspective, or they're written for that audience, whereas this book is specifically written for men,
right.
But also, you know, it's not limited to men. I think it's a good read, whether it's a man or a woman reading it, a mother or a father, right?
Well, I agree. I think it's certainly meant for men, mm-hmm. but at the same time, if there were a number of women reading it, that wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah, and it would make you quite happy, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, Kevin, when you sit in my chair as the therapist, as I said at the beginning of the show, it's a holy privilege to be where I sit, because people come to me and they open up their lives, and whether it be a child with special needs that has brought particular challenges into the marriage, or it's just children in general that bring those challenges in, the fact of the matter is, life is tough and marriage is struggle, and to be able to point out specific things along the road that can bring challenges, and also ways of dealing with those things and keeping God at the center of it all is so important to help people realize that, you know, they're not alone in this.
Right.
There are other people, but most of all, there's God with you. So tell us your story, if you would.
Sure. Well, the story with it's our son, David. Mm-hmm. But really, the story begins maybe 6 months even before his conception, because at the time, I was working like crazy in a CPA firm and just working insane hours and just struggling a little bit, trying to mm-hmm. maintain any semblance of balance between work and family. And I remember very vividly driving down I-71, you know, heading towards home one night after about a 14-hour day, and I was just exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking and just praying sort of at the complete end of my rope and saying, Lord, you know, I'm not spending enough time at home to be successful there. And I'm not even spending enough time at work to be successful there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something's got to give. Help me, please.
How many children did you have at the time, Kevin?
Well, at that time we had six.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people thought I was crazy for working in that particular industry with six kids anyway. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was something that I really enjoyed. And, mm-hmm. and of course, as the sole provider in my family, I had an obligation.
Right,
you know, this is my responsibility.
There's a lot of pressure on men
being
sole providers and things, too.
Yeah. And so it's funny because I look back on that and I think the Lord answered that prayer, that mm-hmm. prayer of utter desperation at the time, because 6 months later, we found out that we were expecting our seventh.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly there, well, I guess about four or 5 months in, my wife Kathy went to see her OBGYN, a guy your listeners may be familiar with. His name is Dr. Mike Parker, and just of course, just a good, faithful Catholic physician. I'm so mm-hmm. grateful for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he called me at the office that day. And I thought, you know, I'm thinking to myself, Dr. Mike, I like you, but why are you calling me?
Yeah, I'm really kind of busy here with this job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and he said, Kathy's measuring very large, larger than she should. Mm-hmm. And this condition's called, and I hope I get this right, polyhydramnios.
You got it.
So, you would know better than me, right?
That's my nursing
CPA
background.
CPA versus nurse, right? And so he said, I want you to know this is commonly associated with Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I thought, okay, you know, that's not the end of the world. We have some very dear friends with kids with Down syndrome, and they're just beautiful kids. So we thought, okay, you know, if that's
God's will,
we'll deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, we went through all kinds of testing. And, of course, the testing that they can do these days or even 12 years ago when this happened is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they determined that the baby didn't have Down syndrome. It was something in some ways that's worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's called heterotaxy and polysplenia syndrome in particular. And it's associated with a mortality rate of 90% by the time the kids hit adolescence.
Wow.
And so Kathy's 5 months along, and we're really almost in a state of mourning for a child who hasn't been born yet.
Mm-hmm.
So back at this time, we just prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And we got all of our friends, all of our family, just everybody that we knew to pray for our baby. And it was a very difficult time. There were a lot of medical appointments. Kathy really went through a lot of difficulties associated mm-hmm. with just trying to bring him to term. We weren't sure that he would be born alive. You know, there were just
all of these things,
all kinds
that,
of uncertainties.
Right.
And this went on for months until finally he was born. And we're so grateful that he did make it. I actually baptized him very shortly after his birth, which is permissible under those circumstances. We had already arranged that and everything because mm-hmm. of the uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turned out, he was in the 10% of children with this diagnosis that did not have congenital heart disease, which is what tends to take them down.
I got it.
And,
yeah.
and contributes mm-hmm. to that high mortality rate. So he's by no means out of the woods,
right.
but at the same time, at least we dodged a big bullet mm-hmm. right up front, and we were able to determine that within the first couple months. But then even at that point, within the first 24 hours of his life, he had to have a surgery to correct some anomalies, some internal anomalies. And then there was a lot of follow-up because he is immunodeficient, and therefore bacterial infection can be a very serious issue. You know, if you mm-hmm. or I get sepsis, for example, that's a pretty serious thing. For him, it's probably
right.
lethal.
It could be, yeah.
So we've had to manage a number of different aspects of this over the years.
And, of course, as many times as he goes to the hospital or has been in, the more times you're in the hospital, the more your chances of catching an infection are.
Absolutely.
They skyrocket.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's got to be always a fear.
That's right. And my wife was in the nursing program at Franciscan University
mm-hmm.
for, I think she was halfway through her junior year in mm-hmm. a BSN program. So she didn't graduate at that point, but certainly had some nursing background
sure.
and really became almost a one-woman case manager
yeah,
for
which
David.
Which is such a blessing. Who would ever know, you know, that nursing background would come in so
Absolutely.
Handy
and
in so many things.
She's done
yeah.
what I really think is a heroic job
mm-hmm.
of managing his care over the
sure.
course of these years.
Yeah.
He's now 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
but even over the past 18 months, he had to have four procedures,
right.
and it really sort of came out of the clear blue sky.
Yeah, so he was doing pretty well then after that first surgery and for 11 years or so?
Well, I wouldn't say that.
No, you okay.
There were challenges
all along
the way, and
mm-hmm.
there have been
lots of doctor visits at the very minimum.
Visits, mm-hmm. lots of ER visits and things like
yeah.
that along the
yeah.
way. So it certainly has the effect of aging the parents a little bit. It's always a stress that's kind of in the back of our minds,
yeah,
even when things are stable.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a bright side
mm-hmm.
because at the beginning, one of the things that I really didn't anticipate, that I really only saw as with some clarity that came from the passage of time, was that the whole situation really helped our kids rally around him and for our family to
mm-hmm.
kind of grow closer together
mm-hmm.
as a result of this whole set of circumstances, because we got a visceral sense of the fragility of his life, because there were times that we just didn't know whether
right.
he was going to make it.
Right.
And by God's grace, he has.
Mm-hmm.
But there are no guarantees, because we know that, all the bad things that could happen, because
mm-hmm.
we've had to consider some of those and mitigate them to the best of our abilities.
Right.
So it really helps, I think. It's like everything, right? You don't appreciate what you have until you don't have it for a while.
Or there's the real threat that you might not. And once love has grown so much, once you've been with that child, and your children have been with that child, and they get to experience the true love and joy of that individual in their lives, and then to carry on with that threat that just any moment, any day, something could happen that would take that one you love so much away from you.
Yeah. But, you know, what's amazing to me is over the course of time, as we've grown in that love for David, and of course, we love our other kids too.
Oh, of course.
It's just all of them are just a perfect fit for our family in their own ways.
Sure.
And we've grown to appreciate David's impact on the family. Now, it's not always easy, but it's as if God gave us this cross for a purpose. And he gave it not just to us, but certainly, you know, directly to David, because David has had to grow in his courage and in his ability to face very difficult circumstances.
Sure.
You know, as a very young kid, 10, 11, 12 years old, he's had to go in and look at some major surgeries.
Pretty
ahead
heroically,
of him. Too,
absolutely. I'm sure. I mean, I've had any number of surgeries myself, and I can be kind of a wimp when I know that I don't have to go in there again and do that. You know, when I think about children who have to do that.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's been hard for him. I mean, he has, there have been many tears along the way, but there's also been a lot of grace. And I love how he's handled it through a mixture of his own temperament and his own God-given gifts. I mean, the kid is just hysterical. He's so funny, and he and I share an enjoyment of fast cars, you know, so we're always talking about, he's always got the latest stats in his head memorized about all these cars.
Yeah.
And at one point, I remember during one of his last admittances, one of the surgeons came in to the room, and they got into this big argument over this particular exotic car. And David said, look, you know, here's the stats, and the surgeon disagreed. And so the surgeon left and went and looked it up and came back in. He said, well, you know, David, you're right.
He so had to eat crow that, well, over a 12-year-old's intellect,
right? And the prearranged penance was 10 push-ups. So he actually—
Right in front of him?
Right in
on
front
the hospital
of him,
floor.
Dropped in the hospital floor.
David.
10 push-ups, you know, and it was just, it's a riot.
That's so cute. That is so cute.
So it's really been a blessing that has come from this, even though there's no way we could have foreseen it that way.
Sure. You're listening to The Family Sanctuary on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I'm Mary Ann Jepson. My guest today is Kevin Lowry, and he is talking about being the father, the special challenges that a father has when being a parent to a special needs child. His son David has heterotaxy and
polysplenia.
Yeah. Yes, and he's 12 years old. So, Kevin, let's turn the tables here a little bit to specifically, what are the challenges that fathers might face in dealing with children with special needs?
Sure. Well, you know, first of all, let's recognize that at least for guys, just becoming a father is transformative, right?
Yes,
because it's challenging, but it's also something that I think really calls out the masculine virtues and things like courage and being able to stare down difficult circumstances and you know, getting up at 3 a.m. and you know, helping your wife. And it really, at least in my experience, it helped make me less selfish and more focused on both my wife and the kids. So I think that there are lots of ways that parenthood makes us better people, you know, better human beings, almost automatically. It's like that the process was intended that way.
We hope so, I think. You know, sometimes the thing I see, and it may be a particular complaint of women, is that the fathers might not get it, might lack a certain amount of empathy towards the situation. I don't think that that's always intentional. I think that there's so many other things on their mind, being perhaps a sole provider or the maybe carrying a heavier weight for the finances of the home or things. But what I'm hearing you say is that virtue, you know, if you're really open to it, and you see that you have to lay it at the foot of Christ, that stuff is going to come along the way, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I really think what you're saying is right. There was, at least, again, in my experience, there was a very different way that Kathy and I experienced the parenthood of David. So, mm-hmm. and it's funny because one of the things that I really wanted to stress in this chapter that I wrote in the book, Blessed Children, Special Fathers, is the whole notion of you can't lose sight of the marriage.
Right.
Even when you're
right.
going through these difficulties, because really the marriage is the foundation mm-hmm. of the family. You know, mm-hmm. the children are the supreme blessing that
yes.
result. But a lot of it in and part of the difficult part for me was trying to be supportive of Kathy in the way that she was experiencing it, which was different than the way I was experiencing
exactly
it.
Right.
And
yeah.
and that's hard.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that I always succeeded in that.
Yeah.
You know, let's be clear. If Kathy were sitting here right now, she'd probably be laughing and smiling and say, yeah, that's true. So
so patience and empathy.
Well,
I guess we
right.
have to be patient with each other in their sufferings.
Oh, absolutely.
In tribulation.
But this
right?
is the beauty of marriage. And this
right.
is one of the reasons marriage is a sacrament. Because,
right.
you know, you do, as a couple, experience so many different things that are difficult that we, you know, we come to it differently, but we have to support one another
mm-hmm.
through it.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that and by sort of remaining tuned into one another, it really does, I think, have the effect of building the marriage, which is that foundation that then helps the kids.
We know it can be very fragile. It can go one way
oh,
or the
sure.
other. And I think,
sure.
you know, to approach it and to understand that, to always have that awareness before you that this can make us or this can break us.
Right.
You know, essentially. And always to look towards the making us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
because there's such a gift in the making us.
Sure. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things, it's so funny. I mean, because every marriage has its ups and downs, right?
Right?
And has its difficulties, and you go through times almost like your prayer life where you go through dry spells and things of that nature. But the whole ability to ask for and be granted forgiveness
mm-hmm.
when we fail is mm-hmm. such a critical element of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that, of course, I've done, I can't count how many times along the way.
Sure.
But there's something that's very right about that, and we need the humility
mm-hmm.
to be able to do that, which is not instinctive.
You know, Kevin, in your chapter, I think there's another thing that really struck me, and it's something that's so difficult for people to do, yet it's something that Scripture tells us to do. In all things, give thanks.
Right.
Right?
Right.
How
oh,
do you
yeah.
do that
in, oh, yeah.
in when you see your child suffering that, yes, this is even something.
Oh,
I,
yeah.
Right.
You know what? That's a
Go
beautiful
with it.
Point. I'll
yeah.
tell you because
yeah.
and that really resonates with me
yeah.
right now because
uh-huh.
I was just reading Romans 12
uh-huh.
and the verse that just jumped off the page at me was Romans 12, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, rejoice in hope.
Mm-hmm.
Endure
yes.
in afflictions.
Persevere
in
prayer. Yes.
And it's like, there
yes.
it is.
I know.
You know,
it's so,
right there.
Yeah.
And the radical part of our faith that really, I think, can propel us towards holiness
mm-hmm.
is this whole rejoice and hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
if you think about it, nobody planned, Kathy, you know, neither Kathy nor I nor anybody else saw this particular set of circumstances
nor
coming.
Nor would you ever
right?
ask for this.
Oh, exactly. That's right. No, of course not. But if we do believe mm-hmm. what we say we believe,
sure.
then we should rejoice and hope because we know that even if David would have died, or God forbid if he does at some point in the future, we still know that God's plan is perfect and transcends our perspectives, what we're able to see, because he has the whole picture.
Right.
We can only see a part of it. So there really is a need to completely put our trust in him, even though the trust precedes the emotions.
Yeah.
Because the emotions trail. The emotions come with time. I mean, we went through all the emotions
mm-hmm.
that you would typically associate with, you know, despair, heartache, all, you know, difficulty, all those things.
But, you know, Kevin, I want to challenge you on that a little bit, too, because I guess, yes, the hope precedes the emotions, but many times in the midst of the struggles, even though we know that we as we go to our scripture, we believe in the teachings of the church, we have that intellectualized And then the emotions come in when we see these tragedies. And then we start to slide sometimes, like, I'm losing hope. I'm losing hope. You know,
sometimes
we take it back. We take it back.
Yeah, right.
We have to keep going back. We know where we get our fulfillment. We know that with grace, we have to keep going back to the cross with it all.
Absolutely. That's right. And that's,
we can't think that we have it covered.
Absolutely. And that this is why we endure in afflictions.
God has it covered.
And then persevere in prayer.
Yes, to persevere in prayer. That's the rest of it.
Yeah.
So, exactly.
You know, we can't say that we're going to avoid all the emotions, because that would be completely unrealistic.
Right.
But even through the emotions, God can draw us to himself.
Kevin, you know, I think it's so beautiful. I know that we've really only scratched the surface on this whole topic, because it's even greater than just I don't mean to minimize fathering children with disabilities. That's massive. But I think that all of our listeners tuning in today have something that they can take away from this, whether they have a child with a disability, whether they're a mother, a father, someone who isn't even a parent at all, isn't even married at all. There's something here for everyone in this conversation that will be had. Thank you so much. Again, the book is?
The book is Blessed Children, Special Fathers by Randy Hain.
It's edited by Randy Hain, and he, I think, especially a beautiful thing, he focuses on St. Joseph as the guide throughout,
right,
which is really so wonderful. Kevin Lowry, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Marianne.
And thank you, our listeners, for tuning in today to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio's Family Sanctuary. You can hear us at 12:30 p.m. on Mondays and 2 p.m. on Sundays. Keep it tuned to AM 820. God bless.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Marianne Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.